Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Rob Parker has a bone to pick with LeBron James.
Who, me?
Yeah, LeBron, he didn't like the color of his shoes the other day.
Had nothing to do with shoes.
He didn't like those funky socks LeBron wears with his high water pants.
That's style.
Is that what you want to go at him at?
No.
It is. It looked pretty fresh last night in Miami.
Is that why you got
where was he at? Brooklyn.
Is that why you got high waters on, too?
Like you said, it's stylish.
You got a high waters,
mine
too?
Mine aren't really high like they wear them today.
Okay. Not like culottes or something.
No.
All right. Now,
I am fresh dressed like $1 million, threw on the Bally shoes and the fly green socks. You don't know what that is.
I do know that.
The hip hoppers know.
Okay, yeah. 50-year-old hip hopper. I know Slick Rick. 6 minutes.
Uh-oh, look at you. A little bit of rhythm.
I remember that. Come on, man.
This is not 6 minutes. This is
no, children's
No,
but
story.
6 minutes, though.
6 minutes, Dougie Fresh, you're on
that. Come on, that's what all-time classic.
Lottie Dottie was that quote.
Lottie Dottie.
Lottie Dottie.
We like
we
the
like
party.
We don't cause trouble. We don't bother nobody.
All right, so here's my problem with LeBron James. The Lakers are in a crisis. Can you please stand up and give some leadership? We heard from Magic Johnson, who doesn't work there anymore. We haven't heard from Rob Pelinka. We haven't heard from Jeannie Buss. We haven't heard from anybody of authority. Why is Kyle Kuzma speaking for the organization? A second-year player is speaking
Lonzo.
For...
Lonzo.
Right?
Lonzo was dropping
and
knowledge.
Lonzo, who didn't even play for the last 4 months. Really? I mean, that's who is going to speak for the Lakers. This storied franchise, those are the cats out front while LeBron is out going to see Dwayne Wade and partying.
It's a farewell tour!
No, but he celebrated that Magic had stepped down. They had a big party. That's what the party was about. They had a good time, and nobody was boo-hooing. They were drinking and everything. He skipped the exit meeting. He hasn't done anything since this whole bombshell broke down. This is why he got so much criticism this year, is because he's a horrible, horrible leader. I told you this.
All right, look.
He's a bad leader.
Are you done? I'm about to set you straight. Number one, I do agree that LeBron James needed to say something. Tuesday night after Magic step down, he could have said something, but I get it. You're stunned, you're shocked, you're angry, you don't really know what to say. It might not come off well. Okay. Wednesday morning, get a good night's rest. Think about it. Wednesday morning early, come and say something, and then you can fly to Brooklyn for Dwayne Wade's last game. Okay, he should have said something. However, if he had stepped up as the leader that Rob Parker is saying he should have, if he had come out and said, look, I love Magic Johnson. We all love Magic Johnson. He is an all-time great. I wish he were staying here, but guess what? The Los Angeles Lakers are going to be fine. I'm here. I'm going to make sure that this franchise gets back on track during my tenure here. If he had said something to that effect, Rob Parker and those of his ilk, you would have been right there sitting in that chair in front of that microphone saying, I told you, LeBron James wants to run the Lakers. Yeah, the Magic was barely out the door, and LeBron's talking about how everything's going to be all right because it's my watch. LeBron wants to hire the next president. LeBron wants to hire the next coach. LeBron wants to be in Jeannie Buss's ear. That's what you and your ilk would have said, Rob Parker. You know it. You know it.
No, I wouldn't have.
Because you live to rip LeBron. If you're writing, you're ripping.
That's true, but I'm also
LeBron,
the guy.
That's who you're ripping.
I'm also the guy I want you to remember who called LeBron the Wolote. Do you remember that? W-L-O-A-T. the worst leader of all time. He just proved it again.
Yay.
He's got a young team. They needed LeBron to step up and stop the noise, stop the madness. Let everybody know I'm going to steady the ship. We'll get this righted. We'll get
you
another guy.
You would have been saying.
Yes, I would have. I would have said no.
Right.
But he didn't say anything.
I'm with you. He should have spoken. But hold on. Why are we killing LeBron? When Jeannie Buss has yet to speak, you're the owner. When Rob Pelinka, the GM, now everybody's talking about how you're going to have carte blanche in the franchise. It's your front office now. Where's he at? Kuzma? Why Lonzo?
I did
why
mention.
Why Kentavious Caldwell-Pope?
None of those guys should be talking, and you're right. Pelinka and Jeannie Buss, the owner, should have spoken, but LeBron as the face of the franchise.
More
and the whole,
so than them, though?
Yes.
That list,
yes.
He's third.
Yes.
Jeannie number
no,
one.
No, but he's the.
Pelinka number
but
two.
But he's one of.
LeBron number three.
But you know his existence counts a lot for what's going on here, and they're not going to be rebuilding because they have LeBron James. They know they have to put pieces around him. That's why LeBron. Is,
he should have spoke.
That's why LeBron.
That.
That's why LeBron is important here, because people want to know that LeBron is cool with what's going on, and this is not going to be a bail job, and they're not going to dump LeBron or just start over or whatever. And I think to hear, I don't want him to get up there and give a 2-hour speech or do an hour press conference like Magic did, but just go up there to say, hey, this came as a shock to me. I was as surprised as everybody, but we got to move on. Magic felt like he had to do what he needed to do, and we need to do what we need to do, which is to get this thing straightened out and win a championship for this great city. That's all I would like to hear from him. That's it, Chris.
I agree.
No Magna Carta. That's all I needed.
I agree.
Is that a good term?
But that's you would have been ripping him, right?
Every chance I get.
All right, it's the Odd Couple. Chris Broussard, Rob Parker. Your turn to weigh in. Is LeBron James at big time fault? Big time fault, because we both agree he's at fault.
Because wait a minute.
For not talking.
Here we go. Here's LeBron. Silence.
No, we know.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Two of the all-time greats, certainly great players of this generation, this era, but all-time greats overall, Dwayne Wade and Dirk Nowitzki. They stepped down last night. This was their last. Last night was it last night, Dirk's last game? Yeah. They both played their last NBA game of their prestigious careers last night. And they both have farewell tours. Did you see Dirk? Dirk, they did a great thing in Dallas. They had a lot of the greatest forwards of all time were there. Charles Barkley. Scottie Pippen, Sean Kemp was there. I mean, he's not all-time great, but
were his 20 kids there too?
Alex just shaking.
What?
His head. Why you got a diss? Why
what?
You got a diss?
Didn't he have like 20 kids?
When he played, it was 7 at one point, and maybe had more. 7, 10.
I'm not
like
ripping
that.
Him
it's
for having lot. Kids. I think that's great to fill the planet.
All right. Anyway, Larry Bird was there. I know. My headphone is falling apart.
And it looks ridiculous, so fix it.
Ridiculous.
I can't.
Can't means unable to.
We need some new headphones up here. Anyway, Rob G's getting me some new ones. So, and then Dwayne Wade, of course, the Banana Boat crew, Chris Paul, LeBron James, who you've killed for being there for some reason. Carmelo Anthony, they were all there for D-Wade. And these were great players, fantastic players. And I'm glad they got a proper send-off. But my question, Rob, was it too proper? Was it a little too much?
It was over the top. Please, Chris, stop it. It was self-indulgent. I mean, Dwayne Wade needed a cigarette after that. I mean, that's how grotesque it was. I understand you were a great player, Chris. I mean, stop it already. Really? Dwayne Wade? It was just too much to bear. I thought it was over the top. We don't need to have everything is a spectacle now. People just don't retire. It's got to be some unbelievable pageantry and last for 3 months. Go home. You're old. Enough.
Look,
that shouldn't be for everybody, Chris. You know it. Wasn't that too much even for you?
Well, here's my issue. And I like, obviously, Dwayne Wade deserved a great send-off, as did Dirk. And Dirk's really isn't in this class because Dirk's wasn't over the top. You know, after his last game, they had those great players on the court with him, and they each gave him a salute, their little statement, and then Dirk spoke. That was his last home game. My only, and it's not an issue, but D Wade's tour wasn't really league generated, it was D Wade generated. Okay, he kind of announced, you know, on Instagram last offseason, he said this in a video. He said, I always did things my way, whether they've been good or they've been bad. I got here because I've done things the way that I feel is right for me and right for my family. I feel it's right to ask you guys to join me for one last dance, one last season. This is it. I've given this game everything that I have, and I'm happy about that, and I'm going to give it all for one last season.
It was a 10-minute video.
I mean, so that set the stage.
How self-indulgent is that?
Join me for my last dance. Okay? That set the tone. And then with the jersey exchanges with a player from each team, that kept it going. Like, I'm just thinking of Kobe, I guess, had a tour, right? But that was more the other teams doing
you supposed
for
to
Kobe.
Let them do that.
Let them
yes.
And again, I'm
and you know what? He's not cool with everybody. But he's not cool with everybody. So to go to Minnesota and take one of the players' jerseys where you have no history or have anything with them. I understand if it was like one of your rivals and a really good star who was a contemporary. Right?
Right?
You come to L.A., you were drafted when LeBron was drafted. Or you went to the Pistons and Darko Milicic. Or you know what I mean? Like
he was in your draft.
But you know what I'm saying? Like contemporaries.
Yeah.
But just any old body, one guy from every team. Come on, that's over the top.
Yeah,
that's self-indulgent.
It's especially over the top when you do it. It's one thing if the team, if the league, if Adam Silver comes out and say, hey, we're going to do this, or we want to honor D-Wade or whoever. We want a player from each team to give him a jersey and you'll get one. You know, whatever. It just a little bit rubs you the wrong way when it's you. Now, I will say this about D-Wade. For him to put it out there, one last tour, join me, and then do the jersey exchange – the fact that people did it, the fact that it became such a big deal, does show his stature in the league. Like, are there players that could have put that out there and not gotten that response?
Sure.
And then you look bad.
You look real bad on that. I just thought it was, you don't need to do all that. People will know it's the last game you're coming in. They'll stop the game.
Yeah, let them do something.
And we had the nerve to have the NBA, when LeBron passed Michael Jordan, say, don't do anything. Don't stop the game. Because they couldn't stop the game for that, Chris. And the Lakers went along with it because it was a fine.
That was ridiculous.
If I was the Lakers, I would have called Adam Silver, whoever sent that message, and said, screw you.
Yeah, or just
screw you.
Just stop the game.
How much can they fine him for doing that for LeBron over?
I don't think they would have fined him.
Of course not.
I don't think that, because
and the Lakers, remember how lame that was?
It was terrible. I don't think the Lakers have done ceremonial things great. You and I were there when Kobe's
jersey
got
terrible.
It was. We've been at Madison Square Garden.
And they put on a
when the Knicks retired jersey. It's a show.
Absolutely.
It's much more professional. The Lakers would almost seem like they were flying by the seat of their pants.
And you know what? In Detroit, they did it for Big Ben and Chauncey. And I'm telling you, and I was there when they did it for Joe Dumars and the owner, the late Bill Davidson,
yep,
and stuff like that. And they did it to Chuck Daly. I saw all of those. And they were spectacular. And the Lakers haven't done a good job. But in this case, I think Dwayne Wade, to put that out there and ask people
that's
to join in.
That's the thing. It was just kind of self-generated.
You shouldn't do that.
You know, Duncan didn't have any big pomp and circumstance when he retired.
No.
Dirk didn't even let you know. You were still wondering, is he retiring? You know, and let other people do it. That was the only thing. I, you know, Wade's an all-time great. He deserves some love, of course.
No doubt. I'm not even saying that, right.
But it just, the fact that it was kind of self-generated, that was the thing that made it, you know, a little bit different. Now, I'm going to throw this at you, Rob. Of these two players, Dirk Nowitzki, Dwayne Wade, who had the better career?
I mean, I think it would be easy for me just to say Dwayne Wade. Obviously, he won three championships. He won one before the big three showed up in Miami. Yep. So, yep. You know what I mean? I give him respect for that. And Dirk had a fine career. There's no doubt about it. But I think I would say Dwayne Wade, given that he was able to win without that crew. And now, if he only won with that crew, I would maybe think a little differently. But he did win with Shaq, right? That was the one they won
with
Shaq.
Shaq in 2006.
Yeah. So I could appreciate
Dirk,
that.
Beat Dirk.
Even though he took 1,000 free throws.
If you ask me whose career I would rather have, it would be D. Wade's. Because he won three championships. He is an all-time great. He did win one on his own. Well, Shaq was there, but, you know, one without the big three of LeBron and Bosh. So I would rather have D-Wade's career. Obviously, both were exceptional, and you take either one. But honestly, I think Dirk had the better, slightly better career. I think, like, Dirk was Dirk lasted longer.
Right.
And I don't mean these last few years when obviously he was old, as Wade was, but Dirk's prime, Dirk's run of individual dominance and greatness lasted longer than D-Wade.
And I'll tell you this. When they won that championship over the Heat, Dirk was he made all the big shots.
Right.
If you remember that, Chris,
right.
He was the.
And there had been all this talk about, oh, he's not clutch, he's soft.
And there were big shots at the end of games that he knocked down. And I said, you cannot take this away from him. He was the catalyst and the reason that they won that championship.
No question.
And I know Kidd was there, and there were another.
Yeah,
you know,
but Kidd was old.
Right.
Jason Terry played great, but he was a role
right.
player. Like, Dirk, think about this. We always talk about that. What are we all saying about L.A., the Lakers? They need another star, right? That's all we're talking about. Who's your second star?
Dirk, he didn't have one.
It was Dirk.
Right.
And he beat LeBron James, Dwayne Wade.
That's a good point.
And Chris Bosh in their primes.
Yep.
Not one of them was old. They were in their primes, and he took them out without another superstar.
Now, did they – I don't remember. How many games was that?
Six.
Were they up 2-0?
The Heat was up 2-1.
2-1, right.
Honestly, the Heat were the better team.
Right. No, they were supposed to win.
They had that one. LeBron
and had a meltdown.
Melted down.
Yep.
There's no other way to describe it.
But that doesn't take away from what Dirk did during that series.
Right.
It wasn't like – it was all LeBron not playing well. He played well.
Yep. Dirk did his thing. And so, yeah, and look, Dirk changed the game. He was the first 7-footer that was comfortable out past the 3-point arc. The first stretch 4, if you will. I mean, Larry Bird obviously was a great shooter. Played a little. There's some similarities, but no. I mean, Dirk Nowitzki was a straight-up perimeter player who later developed a post game and could go inside a little bit and exploit people with his height. But Dirk, he's the prototype for what we see all the time now. You know, so I think while I would rather have Dwayne's career because he, too, is an all-time great and has the three championships, I think Dirk had a slightly better individual career.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Our next guest is a best-selling author, and he's got a new book out called Miracle at St. Andrews. It's on sale now. His name is James Patterson, and we're pleased to welcome him to The Odd Couple. James, how are you?
Hey, what's happening? Glad to be there.
Hey, I was
the
reading.
The odd trio now.
Right,
see,
right.
It is
right.
The odd trio,
the
which
odd
you
trio.
Included.
I was. Threesome, that's worse. No, yeah, no.
Is your book a comedy book? Because you got some humor to you.
You know, we do a little bit of comedy. Yeah, I mean, it's a wish fulfillment thing for anybody who golfs or anybody who knows somebody that golfs. But I'll tell you what, though, it's an honest golf book. This golf book will not improve anybody's game.
Well, that's fair.
It's a novel. It's about a guy named Travis McKinley who he always dreams about being a pro golfer. He's a very good golfer, and he winds up sort of making the senior tour. And it's a really good story. Good story.
That's fun.
What type of golfer are you? How did you play competitively?
Fanatically. No. I played basketball a little bit.
Okay.
Well, 5'11 guard. I could dunk when I was a kid.
Really?
Wow.
How high did you go?
In those days, little guys didn't dunk. But some did, but not white guys.
That's impressive.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, let's switch to golf.
Fanatical, I used to play out in City Island. I remember one time I'm out there and it was in December, almost near Christmas, and my friend and I, and it started snowing, By the time we'd finished 9, it was like 3 inches of snow, and you can't even putt, So we're walking into the clubhouse here, and these four guys are going out to the first tee, and the guy going, "Hey, Morty, you think we'll get an 18?
18? And that snow? Wow. Was that Santa Claus? You playing around with Santa? With all that snow,
yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Pretty much.
Speaking of golf, the Masters is underway. And, they keep pushing Tiger out there in hopes that he turns things around and can win again.
He did okay today.
Does golf really need him to win a major? I mean, I know he hasn't won an event in quite some time, let alone a major.
I don't know if it needs it, but it's a good story. I think a lot of people like that story. Guy comes back, he's had a lot of trouble, comes back in his mid-40s, wins it. That'd be great. The pool that I'm in, I actually picked Brooks Koepka. He's local down here in Florida, and he's doing well.
Do you think Tiger will, eventually win another major? Forget four to pass Nicklaus, but just one?
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me if he won the Masters. He's hitting the ball well. His putting is the issue, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm tired of all these, watch this pro hit, use this golf club or hit this ball. They should put people like me on the thing. Watch this hacker, when he's this club. I go in and I tell the honest. I mean, this new club, I hit it an extra foot. It's excellent.
What's your handicap?
Oh, 12, 13.
Okay.
It's okay. It's decent, Played with three presidents. Played with President Trump, President Clinton, and then Bush 41. So that was kind of fun. Cool stuff.
It's the Odd Couple. We're joined by James Patterson, best-selling author, and he has a new book out, Miracle at St. Andrews.
Hey, James, yesterday we had Rick Riley on the show. And he
wrote a book a little bit.
He wrote a book about
the commander in chief.
Yeah, Donald Trump and cheating at golf. And you said you've played with Trump.
I have.
Did he cheat you?
In the book. He's a good golfer, and Riley knows that. Trump of the presidents, he's. People say that maybe Franklin Delano Roosevelt is probably the best of the president golfers, but Trump's a legitimately good golfer.
Really? So he's arguably the best of the presidents.
The ones I've played with, he's by far the best. Clinton's the most fun to play with, but Trump's the best golfer.
What's fun about playing with Clinton?
He's an interesting guy. He's got a good sense of humor about it. He laughs about it,
How does he hold the golf clubs?
We both laugh about it. I'll tell you what, though, man. The guy, he hasn't driven in about 30 years, but he insists on driving the cart. I'm hanging on for dear life.
Wow.
Guy's going up on the curve. He's not a good driver of the golf cart, but he's a lot of fun to play with.
How does he hold the golf clubs and eat French fries at the same time?
No more French fries.
He's done with that.
Yeah.
So did Trump try to cheat you? Because Riley was telling all these stories of him cheating.
No. No, it's a funny thing. The course down here, and Riley writes about it. What am I selling Riley's book for? This is crap. I'm selling my book. But in Riley's book should have been a magazine article. It's a cool, 20 pages or whatever.
Right.
Yeah, 200, I don't know. But the course down here, Trump's course down here, is right next to the jail. And it's high up over there. And so Riley put in my line about, little criminals up there, meaning in the jail, big criminals down here on a golf course. So,
Well, we were talking to you earlier. You're from upstate New York.
Yeah.
A long-suffering Knicks fan.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was my joke when we talked. I was telling the guys, did you hear the news? James Dolan sold the Knicks. And they bought it for about 2 seconds.
We did. We were like,
and
what?
Then I said, oh, you know, I'm a fiction writer.
How excited. You're hearing the rumors. Everybody's hearing the rumors that Kevin Durant's going to join the Knicks.
And Chris
this
is
summer.
The insider. Chris says it's all over the NBA.
Everybody's talking about it all throughout the league. How excited does that make you?
Yeah, that'd be great. And I'd love it if they got the kid from Duke. That'd be great, too.
Yeah, Zion Williamson.
The kid from Duke, not the other kid from Duke.
Right. R.J.
The other kid. That would be sort of a little tricky. I don't know what to make of him yet. He'll be a good player, but probably not right away.
But, James, here's my point to you as a long-suffering Knicks fan. If they were able to get Kevin Durant and Kawhi and Kyrie Irving, right, as two free agents, and they did get the number one pick and Zion, would you be cool if they traded Zion to New Orleans to get Anthony Davis? Yes.
Yeah, sure. Although, here's the weird thing about Davis. He's obviously great, and everybody raves about him, but they've never been any good, which is kind of weird.
Right, they had one good year.
Yeah, last year they went to the second round of the playoffs. That was it.
Yeah. And he gets hurt a lot, too.
Now, in your book, Miracle at St. Andrews.
With those big guys, man, they weigh a lot of, you know, they're jumping up there and they got coming down with that 290 pounds and stuff on the feet. Tough.
In your book, Miracle at St. Andrews, you talk about, you know, playing all these dream courses, world-renowned courses around the world. Have you played many of those?
I've played a few. I played St. Andrews once. I played at Wingfoot and some of the, you know, it's one way out in Long Island where they have some of it. They had a couple of the opens. And not as many as I'd like to. There's still some dreams. Riviera I've played several times out in L.A. where they play the L.A. Open.
You still got some on your bucket list, I see.
Now, I want to be doing this for the next 30. I was talking to my doctor the other day. He says he's got this one guy. He's 101 years old, and he's still golfing. And he just, this year, he stopped walking 18. He's only walking 9.
Wow, that's great.
At 101. Yeah, I thought that was pretty good.
Now, James, you've had several books be turned into movies. Do you get more satisfaction just writing the book or seeing it come to life?
I get to control the books. I did a book with President Clinton, The President is Missing, and that's going to be a Showtime series. And I'm hopeful about that because we got really good people attached to it. So that's pretty exciting.
Well, that's great. Well, James, we appreciate you joining The Odd Couple again. His new book, Miracle at St. Andrews, is on sale now. Make sure you go check it out.
Yeah, if you're a golfer, it's a good one, I'll tell you.
Yeah, the synopsis sounds great.
It does.
I'm looking forward to digging
read
into it
myself.
Read the
damn book. Don't read the synopsis.
All right.
You went to Oberlin. You're a good reader.
Oh, you did some research on this.
Wait a minute.
We're checking up on you guys.
I went to Columbia.
No, Rob went to Southern Connecticut Tech.
No, Southern Connecticut State University and Columbia J School, and I started my PhD at NYU. Don't let him talk me down, James.
I wouldn't.
Says Columbia, though.
No, Columbia.
I do my own research, too. I don't have any researchers like you guys with the big staff up here.
All right, James, appreciate it.
Nice to talk to you.
Yep,
bye-bye.